going to look at every parable that Jesus, short ones, long ones, all the parables that Jesus taught over the next how many weeks. But this is it for Revelations, the revelation of Jesus Christ, part 44. You did it. You made it. You didn't think you were going to get through with this. You didn't know what you were getting into when you started this, did you?
But we had a good teacher.
So this is the end and the beginning. So the Revelation is the last book in the Bible, but it's the beginning of the life now in Jesus and eternally with Jesus. So the Revelation of Jesus Christ, part 44, Revelations 22, 12 through, I think I put 22 in your paper, I meant 21, so if I put 22, I apologize. The end and the beginning. We'll read the verses as we go through the outline. So number one. The promise of a speedy return of Christ. The promise of a speedy return of Christ. Verses 12 and 13. Look, I am coming soon! Exclamation point. My reward is with me. I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Are we living in the last days? I believe so. Of course, we have been since Acts chapter 2, or Acts chapter 1. In the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh in the last days. So we've been in the last days for the last 2,000 years, and we're even closer to the last days. And even if it's not, one day it's going to be our last day. And I want to be ready to see Jesus. The speedy return of Christ. This is repeated from verse 7 in this chapter. So the second time he says, I'm coming soon. And when I come, the returning Christ will bring wages, will bring rewards. The Greek is misthos, means reward. It means the things that are due. So those who live by faith on a daily basis from generation to generation will be awarded according to their works. Not saved according to your works, but rewarded, given what's due according to your works. And he's coming soon. Yes, I'm on my way. Yes, I'll be there soon. Yes, I'm bringing my payroll with me, he says. And I'll pay all people in full for their life's work. Jesus is the Alpha. Jesus is the Omega. Jesus is the first. Jesus is the last. Jesus is the beginning. He is the end. He's the A to Z. And I believe he's coming soon. He's coming soon. Look, I am coming soon. I believe that. I believe that. I believe that. I was teaching my youth group. I guess it's been over 10 years now. Had about, 20 teenagers in there. I was teaching them. I say, look, I was praying today, and I don't mean to scare you guys, but Jesus told me today, because I've been reading these passages, I said, Jesus told me that he could come back tonight. And their eyes, he'll come back tonight. He'll come back tonight. And I tell you the same thing. Jesus will come back tonight. He'll come back tomorrow. He'll come back 20 years from now. He'll come back 100 years from now. But in perspective, it's going to be soon. compared to all of eternity, is going to be soon, and it's going to be eternal, and it's going to be changing, completely changing when he comes. Number two, the seventh blessing from the book for those who wash their robes. The seventh blessing from the book for those who wash their robes. Verses 14 and 15. The seventh blessing. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexual immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. The seventh blessing. John loves seven. He loves to use seven, and this is the seventh time he says blessed. And he's given us six other things that in this book that people are blessed. Blessed are those who hear the words of this book, and now blessed are those who wash their robes. Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 6:11, and that is what some of you were. Some of you were these practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and practice falsehoods. And that is what some of you were, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. John, when he says wash, in the Greek, it is present tense. It points to a continuous washing. Or blessed are those who are being washed, continually being washed, present tense. In a sense, when you take both verses together from Paul and John, in a sense, the faithful believers are saved and washed all at once. But the more we live in this world, the more we have this flesh side. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We can be defiled by the day-to-day life as we live with the pressures of this world. Personal sins, which we are responsible for, Christ followers can be defiled by these. The corporal sins from the world, they seem like they can just get on us. Like, how did that happen? Like greed and lust and hate and anger and pride. The world has practiced these and perfected these. And you weren't even thinking about that. You just got through praying, and all of a sudden you turned the television on for 2 seconds. Like, ah, it got on me again. The world has perfected these things. So it is necessary for the washed, for Christ followers, to be continually cleansed by connecting with Jesus. And those who are washed in this way have the right to the tree of life. They have the right to go through the gates into the city. Contrasted to those on the outside, the dogs. The dogs symbolize evil people. They have in the Psalms 22:16, dogs surround me, a pack of villains encircle me, they pierce my hands and my feet. So the dogs pierced the Son of God. Things before God, that's when we act like a dog. Don't really know where these sinners were at this point. Not said the dogs outside the city gate. So we've already had the destruction of evil. We already have the new heaven and the new earth. So what are these people that are practicing all these things? That's not really what John's point is when he gets to this part in Revelation. His point is to show that such things are not to be found in or near the holy city. They're on the outside, and they always will be. So he's showing us future readers who will read this letter. He's warning the readers to act accordingly, that these things do not enter the city, and you are entered into the city by continually being washed. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. That's who enters the city. And that's what he's trying to show us. Number three. The message about Jesus is that he is the King and the New Day. The message about Jesus is that he is the King and the New Day. Verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The angel was sent by Jesus. The angel spoke under Jesus' authority. He's speaking to you. And you see, you use the word you there. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you. That you there is plural. It's, if you're from Texas or South Carolina, it's y'all. I sent my angel to y'all. Y'all can be surprised when y'all get to heaven, and or when new heaven and new earth get here, and Jesus says, what y'all up to? All right. Yeah. You, plural, you guys. You guys, there we go. Yeah, Ewans. That's 2 + 3, Ewans. The angel spoke to John, but his message was not a private one. We've privatized Christianity. We privatize everything else, so we decided to privatize Christianity. But you can't. Me and Jesus, that's all I need, me and Jesus. Well, you're going against what Jesus said when you look at things that way, because most of the yous that you see in your New Testament, I would say over 75%, I haven't done the exact study, so I'm making that number up, but I would say at least 3/4 of the yous you see in the New Testament are plural. You, y'all, the church, the people of God need to listen to the one who's the root and the offspring of David. Jesus Christ is of David's line. He has fulfilled the promises made, God made to David. Your son will be seated on the throne, will be king, president, prime minister, prime ministers forever and ever and ever. He's the bright morning star. What's the bright morning star? What's that bright star that comes up every morning? What? The sun. The bright morning star is the sun. This, when you see the sun, it's the start of a new day. Jesus himself heralds in the new day. Jesus is the new day. We're not just waiting on the new day. Jesus is the new day, and when we see him face to face, it will be the completion of that new day. On that Easter morning, when the bright morning star rose that Easter morning, the new day broke in, and we're waiting on the completion of that new day face to face. A new day was sorely needed in the time of John. A new day walking in Jesus, who he is sorely needed today. We need the one who brings in the perfect day of God, Jesus Christ. He is the new day. Not just brings a new day, Jesus is the new day. I wish Jesus changed everything. Jesus is the change. He is the new day. He is the bright morning star. We're not just waiting on something. We're receiving Jesus, who is the change that we're looking for. Number four. The Spirit and the Bride are one voice. The Spirit and the Bride are one voice. Verse 17. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life, let them come. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, we're talking about the Holy Spirit this past Sunday. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, Jesus anointed by the Holy Spirit. Again, this Sunday, the Spirit of Christ, the breath of God, the inspiration of God, the closeness of God. That's the Spirit. The Spirit says, come. The Bride says come. The bride is the church. The bride is the body of Christ. The body says come. So you have the Spirit, the closeness of God, the inspiration of God prompting us to come, and the body, the church, prompting us to come. So what the Spirit prompts, what the inspiration prompts, the body utters. The Spirit empowers the body of Christ, and we both give the same message to invite whosoever come. Come, 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 come. That's important because a lot of people don't believe that the Spirit still speaks. That's important because a lot of people believe the church doesn't have a voice anymore to say come, and we do. The Spirit working in conjunction with the body, telling to come, solo scriptura, Scripture alone. I'm careful about that. I believe in the inspiration of Scripture, but I believe the church and the Spirit still have a word to say with the Scriptures, to say, come, come, come. The expression ought to apply to unbelievers because the believers are already included in the bride, so we're telling people to come. John's telling us at the end of the book, he said, tell people to come. Let the Spirit and the church tell people to come. The outsiders, the ones who are dogs right now, it's not too late. Tell them to come. Whoever is thirsty, let them come. Anyone who is willing to take the free gift of salvation, the free gift of the water of life, tell them to come. That's the message of the church. We tell the worst of people, the people that we don't look anything like, the people who don't act like us, say, I don't know exactly what to say to you, but just come on. Come on, I don't know all the answers for you, but I know somebody who does. Just come, and we'll figure it out over time. Just come. Just come. That's the message. That's the message that we give. Number five. Now comes a solemn warning that the words of the prophecy of this book are not to be tampered with. Now comes a solemn warning that the words of the prophecy of this book are not to be tampered with. Verse 18 and 19. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this scroll. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this scroll. And if anyone takes words away from this scroll of prophecy, God will take away from that person any share of the tree of life and the holy city, which are described in this scroll. It's called a prophecy again. Can't take away from this prophecy. Prophecy, not just a prediction about future events, but it is a critique of nations, of empires, of the present system, so that no one can take away the critique, what the Spirit has said about this generation, about every generation that the Spirit is speaking to. And John is warning, Jesus is warning the future scribes who will copy this book and copy this book and copy this book. They can't go, well, I don't like that part. Well, I think we need to clarify that a little bit. They're not to tamper with these God-given words. It was a wise precaution to ensure that the book might be preserved for all future generations unchanged. Don't change this. Don't change this. Don't change this. Keep passing it down from generation to generation until the final completion. But not just the copyists. This is not just for scribes who are going to copy this down. This is to everyone who hears these words. It's a strong exhortation to heed what is written. It must not be modified. It must not be evaded. It must not be added to. If anyone adds to the book's teaching, God will add to that person the plagues that have been described in this book. And there's been quite a few, if you can remember back. And I don't want those. That's why somebody told me, just skip that one part. I'm like, I better not do that, because I get down to chapter 22. If anyone takes away part of the books, the tree of life, the seven blessings will be taken away from that person. So I did my best to be as faithful as I knew how to be to the book, what the Spirit was saying to me. I know I didn't teach it perfect, but I did my best to present the book as it is, the prophecy as it is, to present Jesus as he is through this book. Number six. The Christian prayer is, come Lord Jesus, let it be so. The Christian prayer is, come Lord Jesus, let it be so. Verse 20. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come Lord Jesus.
Amen.
The witness, Jesus himself, affirms that he's coming again speedily. And then the witness, the reply is, amen. Amen, come Lord Jesus. Amen is a confirmation. When you say amen in church, you're confirming. You're saying, let it be so. Let what the person just said, Jesus said, I'm coming soon. And the reply is, amen, let it be so.
Amen.
Let it be so, let it be so. It indicates agreement to what the previous speaker has just said. So Jesus said, I'm coming soon. The church says, amen, let it be so. Reinforced with this prayer, come Lord Jesus. Let it be so, come Lord Jesus. Jesus. This is the first time in the whole book that the phrase Lord Jesus is used. Got all the way to the end, the last two verses before he uses Lord Jesus. Good way to end the book, I think, though. Come Lord Jesus. He didn't say, come future Lord Jesus. When Jesus, when you do come, then you'll be Lord. That's not what he says. He said, come, Lord Jesus. That's who you are. He is Lord Jesus right now.
Hallelujah.
Even though he hasn't appeared yet, he's Lord Jesus right now. And we're asking him to come. He's longing for the Lord Jesus return. That's a very political statement. Caesar was on the throne. It was Lord Caesar. Nope. Come, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. John's confidence is finally not in human effort showing that, but in the active, living God who is Lord Jesus. He's revealed his love. He has revealed the wrath to those who are unrepentant, those who are evil, in this book and throughout the events of human history. But he's played the decisive role in that history. He's played the decisive role in history by sending Jesus Christ among us. And Jesus proved that he is Lord by his birth, Merry Christmas, by his life, by his death, Good Friday, by his burial, Holy Saturday, by his resurrection, Happy Easter, by his ascension, where he rose to the Oval Office of the universe, and he is Lord Jesus right now.
Amen.
I'm not depressed about the future. I'm not. I'm not down about God's good world. I'm not. The broken, fallen world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, yeah, I'm down about that. But I have real hope in God's good world. For God's good creation. Why? Because I believe Jesus Christ is Lord right now.
Amen.
He's Lord Jesus right now. And I believe he's coming soon.
Amen.
I don't have to be afraid. I won't tell you who I had breakfast with a couple days ago. They just, this is bad and this is bad. And people are, I went, oh, Jesus is Lord right now. I won't tell you that they were preachers. I'm like, come on! Amen, come Lord Jesus. You're Lord right now. Lord right now. Number seven. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you, God's people.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you, God's people. Amen. Verse 21, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you, God's people. Amen. I ended with 7 points because I knew John would be pleased with that. Verse 21, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. That's a normal close to a first century Christian letter. Every time you read the book of Revelations, do not forget. If you forget, you'll take it out of context and make it say something that it's not trying to say. Don't forget that this is a letter. First and foremost, it was a letter to those 7 churches. It is a letter to the church as a whole through every generation. It is a letter to us. It is a letter to you. And John concludes his letter by looking to the grace of God for all of God's people. He's depending on God's free grace. And it's a great way to close any book. It's a great way to end a book. It's a great way to end a time together. It's a great way to start a new time together. Grace. 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 That's one of our 10 values here at Living Hope Assembly of God. We value grace. We want to receive grace and give grace. Well, they don't deserve it. Well, if they deserved it, it wouldn't be grace. We're just going to keep giving people grace and receiving the grace of God. Thank you for your going through this scripture journey with me. Thank you very much. I had a good time. I enjoyed it.
If anybody was scared, there's something wrong because the way you know,
right.
There's nothing to be afraid of. You did a wonderful job.
I tried to be gracious throughout the whole thing.
And
because I believe John was. And I believe Jesus is.
Amen.
So grace. We'll pray. Don't forget about Friday.
Right.
Come have some soup. All right?
Soup's on.
Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. Thank you for your grace. Lord, help us to receive your grace. Help us to be gracious to each other. And we say, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Let it be so. Come, Lord Jesus. You're Lord right now. We trust and we hope in you. Bless your people. Make your face shine upon them. Be gracious to them. And give them peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.